This letter followed hard on the heels of the first letter to the Christians in Thessalonica. Probably no more than a month or two separate these two letters. This is Leroy Iam speaking for the Navigators. Today's topic, a look at the book of 2 Thessalonians. It would seem that a forged letter had come to the church, purporting to have come from the Apostle Paul, which declared that the day of the Lord was imminent. This second letter was written to give them more specific instructions on this point, to set their minds at rest, and to give them a sure, definite understanding on these matters. In the first letter, he referred again and again to the time when he was with them, but he rarely does so in this second letter. Naturally, he would be more prone to write about his visit in the letter that immediately followed his time with them. But in this one, he dealt with a specific problem. He wrote the letter to caution the Thessalonians that the Lord's coming would follow another event, an apostasy. What is this apostasy? It is called the falling away, in which a person called the man of sin, who in the temple of God professes to be God and exalts himself above God. It was to be a false church headed by an impostor. The spirit of all this was already at work in Paul's day. What the final culmination of it all will be is yet to be seen. It was not revealed to Paul what all the apostasy would entail, but whatever his idea of it, it did not preclude the possibility that the Lord could come in his own lifetime. First and last, Paul looked for the Lord's coming as a glorious consummation, meanwhile anticipating the eventuality of departing to be together with Christ. In spite of the fact that this letter is designed to meet a specific and deep doctrinal problem, the heart of Paul comes through. We see his joy over their growing love and faith. He knew that without love they were nothing, and without faith it would be impossible for them to please God. They could have their doctrine as straight as a ramrod, but without lives filled with love and faith, they were sadly lacking. He was delighted that they were standing firm in their life in Christ in spite of heavy persecution. To endure in hardship and affliction was a necessary ingredient for many in the early church. We ourselves are called to this from time to time. Who among us will live without heartache and tears? Who among us will live without having our faith tested and tried? The admonition to endure is for every age. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. His prayer for them was that they might be comforted and strengthened through it all. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us an everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. He asked prayer for himself, that he might be used of God to continue to share the word as he carried on the ministry to which he was called. He said, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Study this epistle to become grounded in some of the great doctrines of the Christian faith.